I speak to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In today's gospel, Jesus Christ was running out of time. It was time to sit with the disciples and lay it out plain, clear, concise, so that they couldn't possibly miss it. And he begins to unpack for them the importance of his life mission. In chapter 8 of the book of the Gospel of Mark, what we are seeing and hearing is the transition in that gospel. We have been experiencing the Gospel of Mark symbolized by the lion. Christ has pounced into human experience, and he is running a race that is incredibly limited. Limited by the words that he needs to speak and the direct result of those words. We know in the world that we live in, if a message is spoken halfway around the world via CNN or Fox Network, etc., we know immediately. One of my favorite children's focus is to take a tube of toothpaste and a glass and hand it to a child and say, now squeeze the toothpaste into the glass. And when they're all done, I say, that's great, now put it back. I usually get a glare from somebody's mommy. We know that the words that we speak cannot be taken back. We can confess them if they are unkind. We can ask for God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of others, but the truth is that once they are out there, they're out there. And Jesus understood that the message that he was speaking to the people of his time was a message of change, of a brand new beginning with their relationship with God. And so he explained to the disciples, we are not going to win a political campaign. You don't have to worry about who's running which party. We're not running. And we will not end up in the king's palace, not of this world. And we will not solve all the social problems. And you can imagine the disciples' disappointment. They are absolutely and totally convinced that that's who he was. He's supposed to step into some worldly leadership position and take over. And so there's a disappointment in the room. Now, I don't know if you know anybody like this. I do. I'm just not going to look at them. But Peter couldn't hold it together. And he challenged Jesus immediately. This isn't going to happen. I'm not going to let this happen. This is unacceptable. You know anybody like that? Yeah, you do. And Peter gets rebuked. Now, there's many translations of what Jesus said. Let me try and do it in proper English. Excuse me, boy. If you wouldn't mind terribly, would you hold off on your comments? I'm finding them difficult to digest. But in Aramaic, it sounded more like, shut up. Or worse, try this in a parish council meeting. Get behind me, Satan. It will not go well. I'd go with the English translation if I were you. But Jesus had absolutely no patience and no tolerance for somebody who couldn't see reality. He loved Peter with all of his heart. We know that. As we study throughout the New Testament, but at that exact moment, he was saying, wake up. Something's about to happen. And as he unpacks it for everybody in the room, he explains that our ultimate vision, our ultimate set of goals, our objectives and our tasks must always be focused on the other. The basic principle is this: love the Lord your God with all your body, mind, and spirit, and love your neighbor as yourself. Always have a vision for the other. You know how I feel about your extraordinary generosity in this parish with the community around you. This isn't a lecture of deeds undone, but an affirmation and encouragement to continue with what you're doing and exploring new possibilities to reach out to those in need. But it is a clear message out of the gospel, as gently as I can say it, that the clear vision of a believer is the other. How to care for, support, love, encourage, feed, clothe the other. And even deeper than that, there is some sense that there is a cost, that when you challenge the status quo, there is a cost that comes with that. And it would be a horrendous cost for Christ and some of those disciples. Pick up your cross and follow me means to live as Jesus would live and to reach out for the other even when there is a cost. During this past week, we lost one of the most extraordinary evangelists that our country and United States, indeed North America, has ever seen, Dr. Billy Graham. What you don't know is that there were many tests, many costs to Dr. Graham. In the late 1960s, Dr. Graham was contacted by a representative in Hollywood and offered a movie deal. And he turned it down. That was not his call. And then he received a telephone call from one of the news networks, and they offered him a weekly television show in which he would be broadcast live in black and white. And the contract was for nearly $1 million a year. And he turned it down. That wasn't his call. And then, into the 1970s, and this will shock no one, he was offered an opportunity at the White House. And he took that idea to the table. It got all the way to the dinner table. And he had a conversation with his children, and he had a conversation with Mrs. Graham. And she said, yes, you just need to tell the Democratic Party that you'll be single. Dr. Graham pulled away from the table, as any wise man would at that moment, and said, I understand. And the message that went back to Washington was, no, thank you. He struggled, as we all struggle, with what our call is. The call is not to put ourselves in the advantage. The call is to serve the needs that are before us. And Dr. Graham faced that many, many, many times during his long ministry. Some of you would never have heard the interview, but I think you can find it, sure, on the internet. And Mrs. Graham was once interviewed, and it was a live interview, and it was a surprise question, and she was asked, Mrs. Graham, with all the trials and tribulations of being married to an internationally famous evangelist, have you ever considered divorce? And she said, no, murder. Don't look at your wife, don't look at your wife, don't look at your wife. The challenges, the testing, the temptations that are part of our discussion during Lent come to each one of us. And the bottom line begins, will we follow what Christ calls us to be? To be those that serve each other, to consider the cost, to pray our way through that cost, and then to respond to the needs of others. We are a church that works collectively to make decisions. And we do that on purpose, so that together, as the community of faith, both at a local level and a diocesan level and beyond, that we not only make decisions together, but we are responsible and accountable for those decisions. And I think some of the best decisions we make is when our consideration is for the other. That there are people in your community that eat because of the food you provide, that have socks because of the socks you provide, that have winter coats because of the coats that you provide, and the list goes on and on and on. Some would say, you know, in the church, Stephen, we don't pat ourselves on the back. That's not right and proper. But I think it's okay to say we're on the right road. We're adhering to the gospel. Let's keep walking together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.